Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Welcome in, Have It OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur alongside the fellows here.
Good to see you again, Andy.
An ugly one. Yeah, it was not a good game to watch there. 29-9, the final. And
it wasn't that close.
I was going to say, it wasn't even that close. I mean, they went from a Hail Mary to a freak hailstorm and a dome.
Yeah.
We should have known it wasn't their night.
You know, and we've talked and talked about the hail all year long. OB, you've talked about the coming storm. And guess what? We're not ready. We're not prepared. We haven't been prepared since the opening kickoff of the opening game. All that being said, everybody's saying, oh, but wait a minute. What about this? Well, let me tell you something, folks. We're in the hardest division in football. And they're prepared. Green Bay is 6-3. And even though they had trouble today, they were playing the best team in the NFC. And that is the Detroit Lions. Minnesota, we just saw them win. They're 7-2. They're sitting atop the catbird seat. And guess what? We've got some problems. I mean, we got three big ones. Number one, we're not prepared, Andy. And what does that mean? That means we don't have coaching. We are not coached well on the offensive side. Our defense was exposed today. And it all goes back to this nonsense that Eberflus and all these, you know, all these assistant coaches wanted to profess, you know, all year long. Oh, we've got each other. We can draw on each other and all this nonsense. The offensive line is a disaster. It's getting worse. And guess what? Nobody's coming to save us, OB. Nobody. Nobody's coming.
How about the defensive line? They took them, what, all four of them out? Replace them in one play. They took them all out and put their backups in. Folks, what went on today is you saw an incompetent head coach, an incompetent 25 coaches. Okay, there are 16 coaches, 16 that are on the sideline, and 10 up in the box. 26 coaches. And what I saw, I've been around this game for a while, and what I saw today, it very well could have been the beginning of the end of Eberflus. Losing the team. Losing his team. Folks, when you look at the situation last week, I talk about third down all the time. Now, you think they learned from last week, the week before, the year before that, okay, how important that down is. Why? Eats up the clock, move the ball down the field, and you score points. We only converted 2 out of 12 last week, 3 out of 14. We converted 3 out of 14 attempts. I'm going to tell you something. This game today showed exactly how hard our players played out there. And what I mean by that about the coach losing this team, I didn't see what I've been seeing all year long. I saw less of an effort. And I seen people look like they really didn't give a damn. Guys taking themselves out of the game, linemen, unbelievable. Our one defensive tackle, number 97, he claims he was hurt. They take him out of the game. Guess what? He walks off the field, goes and takes a shower, and comes back with his street clothes while the game is still being played. While the game is still being played! Danny, I'll tell you what. This guy, Eberflus, if anybody...
It's not good.
If anybody thinks he's a head coach, and if you think we've got an offensive coordinator here that knows what the hell he's doing, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. What you saw today, and by the way, we played a team, a beatable team, an absolute beatable team. Where is the results? Where are they? Where are they? There are no results. Because we have coaches that don't know what the hell they're doing, and anybody tells you any different, they're lying. Or they don't know what they're talking about. Why do I say that? Watch every play of every quarter in this game today, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. My God, when is somebody going to wake up around here? These are teams that we should be beating, and they're beating us. We can't convert on third down. We can't go down the field. We can't score points. My God, where was Cole Kmet today? Last week, he was targeted one time and caught one pass. Today, our tight end, who is our motivator, gets our passing game going. You know how many times he was targeted in four quarters? Zero. You know how many passes he caught? Zero. And we're going to win a football game with one of the most important people we have on offense, our tight end, our catalyst to make this passing game wide open and for us to move down the field and score points. Let me say it again. Targeted zero times today. No catches. Last week, one time targeted, he catches one ball. Eight quarters of a football game, our tight end has caught one pass. One pass. Shane Waldron, you're our offensive coordinator. Eberflus, you're his boss. You people don't know that? You don't see it? What the hell are you people thinking about? You're a disgrace, far as I'm concerned.
Well, Annie, the proof is in the pudding. And you can't tell me that this team was prepared schematically,
oh, Danny,
physically,
please,
emotionally, in any form or fashion. Once again, 0 points in the first quarter against a tomato can. Number two, we gave up 6 sacks. They dominated us at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. We gave up 213 yards on the ground to the running backs that nobody knows. I defy you. I defy you to tell me somebody's name on that team, on the defense, other than Buda Baker. It's a bunch of nobodies. And yet they just took us to the woodshed, and it wasn't even close. And guess what? We don't score one single miserable point in the second half when it was all right there in front of us.
After adjustments at halftime.
Well, there's no such thing as an adjustment with this bunch. And, folks, I got to tell you, just about the coaching. It was case in point last week how the coaching was so inept that we gave away a victory. And all week long, we heard from the coaches how, oh, we covered it. We're on top of it. I'll give you a couple examples, Andy. DeAndre Swift chop blocking in the end zone gives up a safety. Now, how many times have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Probably never.
You think they covered that? Probably not, right? And guess what? It was a huge point in the game. And then our hotshot rookie punter, he's been doing great. Well, on the ensuing punt where we're going to have to kick the ball to them after the safety, what does he do? He sky shanks it. You think they worked on that? You think they covered that at some point and he knew what to do? It looked like he had no idea what the hell he was supposed to do out there. So from top to bottom, from left to right, this is a team devoid of leadership, discipline, and anything resembling coaching.
Danny, let's go to last week. The last play of the game. The last play of the game. And after the game was over, you all know what happened. Eberflus said that they have practiced that play 100 times. 100 times. Now, I have a slight problem with that, and I'm going to tell you as quick as I can. My problem is you have the people that are the jumpers, okay? And those are the guys that can jump up and bat the ball down. Also with that, we have one guy that's supposed to be in front of the jumpers and one guy in back. You know who had one guy in front and one guy in back? Our opponent did. We did not have a guy in front or one guy in back, and you never let anybody get deeper than your guy. We never even had him back there. That's 10 people. The 11th guy had his back to the action, and he's jumping around, waving, flipping people, screaming at the audience, okay, the customers that are there, and the play is on. The play is on. And then he comes in, backs up, looks around. He doesn't see anybody where he is, so he runs into the pile. He jumps up and tips the ball back to the commander's receiver, and we had nobody back there, and we had nobody in front either. Now, here's my point. Eberflus said they practiced that 100 times. Now, Eberflus, either you don't know what the hell you're talking about, or you got the 11 dumbest football players in the National Football League. You got the 11 dumbest football players, or you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Everybody was out of position on that play. Everybody. And we come today, and again, critical third down situations. 3 of 14 last week, 2 of 12. You wonder why we lose the football game? And again, sometimes you can get upset at the players, but I'll tell you what, folks, this coaching staff, how the hell, I don't know if this guy, Danny, there's a possibility this guy might be let gone this week. You can't, that pathetic performance, and I think today was the start of him losing the team. This coaching staff losing this team.
Let's talk a little bit more about that coming up in a second. My favorite part was the fact that he called timeout with 7 minutes to go, down 20, and wouldn't call timeout up 3 to get that play set.
That's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
You call a timeout, you bring in, and you go over with everybody on the defense where you're supposed to be and what you're doing. Just to clarify it. Just to clarify it.
How about if you're watching the game and you see your quarterback's got his back to the line of scrimmage, jawing and screaming at the fans? How about then? Then you call timeout and say, come here.
You know what I don't understand? Jesus. Stevenson, apparently they didn't do anything after the game was over with, but they went out to practice and they demoted him. Okay? I understand he walked off in Hallis, up in Hallis Hall up there. He walked off the practice field, and then later he came back on, and they let him back on in the practice. Okay? And now today he played in the game. Folks.
Can't make it up. Can't
make this stuff up. Field. You ain't coming back on my field.
He walked off the practice field because he was demoted. And then later he walked back on the field. And today he played in the game. And he's
made a couple of plays. I mean, he's a good player.
Out there dancing, screaming, yelling, whatever the hell it is that he's doing, with his back to the entire field and while the play is going. And he comes home and he pulls off these things and he's in the game today. You wonder why we lose? You wonder why we're talking about this coaching staff?
There you go.
I'll tell you this. I know, so the folks out there realize the severity of the problem. OB took more notes tonight than he's ever taken during the game.
I took a bunch of them Tuesday.
All right, callers, hey, we're going to get right to you.
Yep, hang
Give
on there.
Give us a shout, folks.
312-981-7200. Yeah, I got a few coming. Yeah. By the way, before we get to this break, it's just been brought to my attention that the Las Vegas Raiders have fired Luke Getsy tonight. It took them 7 games to realize what it took 2 years for us to realize here at Chicago.
There you go.
Chevy Dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
Well, after much decision-making here, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I'm going to go with Kevin Byard tonight.
Yep. Of all the guys, you know, in the secondary, obviously Brisker's out. There's a lot of flux. No, you know, Gordon, he has been the best of the secondary the last month.
Yeah, a sack tonight and also of 7 tackles. So Kevin Byard gets the nod. 312-981-7200. Let's get out to the phone calls. The therapy session is now in progress as we go out to Glenview and say hi to Bob. Bob, you're up first with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, the therapy session is right. I listen to you guys all the time. I've been paying special attention to what you're saying about the coaching the last few weeks. And the contrast today, it really hit home for me. When they didn't throw to Komet the entire game, which OB has just mentioned, but the guy could go to the Pro Bowl. He's open all the time when they throw to him. It's incredible to me they don't do it. And the contrast with Arizona, with their good coaching, was when we hit that safety punt to a man on that front line of Arizona, they all raised their hand for a fair catch. And that's coaching.
Hey, Bob. Let me tell you, just hang in there. Let me tell you this. If you think that's bad enough with Cole Kmet, and he is the catalyst for our passing game, how many times did you see in four quarters today, DJ Moore, Adoozy, whoever, did you ever see him go on a fly pattern, a deep fly pattern, or a deep post pattern, or deep crossing ins? Did you see one time us attack downfield in the passing game? Today, did you see it? We never did. We never attacked downfield. We never hit Cole Kmet. Eight quarters of football, he's caught one pass. Today, we don't attack down the field in a passing league. And whose fault do you think it is? That's why I said this coaching staff, Eberflus, and his other 25 coaches, folks, I'm telling you, they're not doing their job. Anybody that tells you that isn't worth their weight and whatever. I'll tell you what, I'm so damn disgusted with this. You know, the kids go out there and try to give it everything, and the coaches are to put them in a winning position. And guess what? Our coaches don't know what the hell a winning position is. And why do I say that? Because of just what I just said. How do you not use your tight end today? How do you not use your passing game today? In today's game, the way the rules are, we don't attack downfield not one damn time. You got to be kidding me.
All right, so if you watch the game tonight between Minnesota and Indianapolis, the first five plays of the game, or passing downs, the tight ends were involved in four out of the five. So this is not a mystery to decent football teams. Now, let me tell you what's really going on, guys, and I'll tell you what it is. We've got a weakling, Shane Waldron, as the offensive coordinator, and we've got a bunch of prima donna receivers bullying him to make sure they are given expressed delivery on targets. And I like DJ Moore, but don't you remember about a month ago he was whining and moaning and saying, oh, I wasn't targeted. And guess what? The grifter, Keenan Allen, he was targeted 10 times today. He can't run a 5-flat 40 anymore. He can't go deep. He's out there lumbering around, and we're thinking, oh, we got to get it to him. Otherwise, he's gonna complain. Well, we got to make. And then, oh, Adunze, he's a high first-round pick. We can't forget him. So where's Cole Kmet? He's way down at the bottom, and he's a team player, and he doesn't moan and say, give me the ball. He lets this more, you know, getting the ball to these wide receivers that it's not working. They're covered, or it's just not evident to the quarterback, and we are struggling in so many different ways.
Just real quickly, if we come back, Caleb Williams should not have been in that game the last 5 minutes of this game.
Definitely.
At minimum, at the 2-minute warning, pull him over, take him out. You see, he was getting banged around, he was hurt. His own players were helping him get up, okay? He never should have been in that game. Bajan should have came in.
All right, well,
what the hell were you guys thinking about, you coaches?
And I'll tell you why, because Eberflus was asked that, and he said, we're just getting work. And we're going to talk about because they haven't done their work.
Exactly correct. All right, we'll take a time out here. If you're on hold, please stay there. We'll get to you after the news.
Yeah, we're just getting work and getting timing on a two-minute operation. That's what we were doing.
Okay, Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. 29-9, the Bears fall today to the Arizona Cardinals. And right there, Matt Eberflus explaining, quote-unquote, why his rookie quarterback, the number one overall draft choice, is in a 20-point game with 3 or 4 minutes to go in it, and he came out limping. I don't know if you can explain it.
There is no explanation. Yeah. You know, again, folks, his quote was, we're just getting work. So there's a time and place for work. Work essentially is preparation.
In training camp.
How about preseason?
Preseason.
Not on the road where you've already had your quarterback. The only real glimmer of a future hope of this franchise. He was sacked 6 times. I just watched during the break just some highlights. 3 other times he was running for his life. It was like some kind of a clown show. And he barely got across the line of scrimmage. It should have been a sack. He could have been sacked 10, 12 times. All that being said, you've got a makeshift offensive line. They've got their ears peeled back. They're coming 100 miles an hour. And now you want to get some work? You're kidding. You're kidding, right?
Wait till Detroit comes. Wait till Green Bay comes. Wait till the Vikings come. Wait till the 49ers come. Hold on to your backsides, folks.
How well do the Bears protect the pocket? Sponsored by their Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns. Always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. Could have used some folks from TJ Stearns out there today. And, of course, as we just pointed out, 6 sacks, 45 yards.
Anybody over 200 pounds will sign him. Sight unseen.
Well, if I keep snacking like this during our games, we'll get there pretty soon. 312-981-7200 is the number. Let's get back out to the phones and get out to Aurora and say hi to Joe. Joe, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Yes, Jim. I want to put Ryan Poles on the microscope here. I think he knows by now a coaching change has to happen. Why he didn't do it last year with a new quarterback is mind-boggling. I think 9 out of 10 teams would have done that, so we wasted a year already. He has not addressed the offensive line in 3 years. It's going to take time to fix that. How do you fix it, guys? And how do you go about it? With draft picks, trades, free agency?
All right, first of all, he did somewhat address it last year with a first-round pick. Darnell Wright, who left the game, who's got a stretched medial collateral, which will be 3 to 5 weeks, possibly. And we know that the left tackle and the backup left tackle both were out of this game. And Larry Borum came straight off of IR and started the game. And actually, he wasn't god-awful. Yeah. It wasn't that bad, to his credit. But folks, we've got kind of a story behind the story here. And I don't think you know about this, OB, but a kid I played a year or two with, Trace Armstrong. He's now this agent for coaches and players in the NFL, mainly coaches. Guess who 3 of his clients are here in Chicago? Try Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, and Shane Waldron. Let that sink in.
312-981-7200. Vlad, you are up next here with Happen OB. Go ahead, Vlad.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, I just want to say you guys are the best in the business, man. I actually like listening to the radio when you guys talk instead of watching the game itself. It's too much, brother. I'm getting sick of these damn penalties, man. Like, every time Mercedes Lewis, for example, every time Mercedes Lewis comes in the game, he draws a penalty every single time. They didn't get his old behind out of there, man. Guys, what can we do to address these penalties? Eber fails has to go, man. And what Obi always said, this guy can imagine an empty broom closet. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Vlad. Appreciate it.
Well, Obi, look, we had 6 penalties. The Arizona Cardinals had only 2. Unfortunately, a lot of those penalties came at crucial moments in the game, i.e. the chop block in the end zone that basically gave him the safety and the ball back. So, I mean, a team that is chronically penalized is a team that is undisciplined and unprepared. What have we been saying all year long, Andy?
And don't forget the leverage penalty that ended up in a first down for Arizona when Gervon
they went
Dexter
in for a touchdown, yeah. And that was on Gervon Dexter.
Yeah.
And again, you know, the idiotic rules today, you know, you can't hit the snapper and then you can't use your body for leverage, meaning push down on an offensive lineman to propel yourself up to try to get up and block the. Those are things that you cover the first 3 or 4 days of training camp.
Yep.
Correct, OB?
No question about it. Let me tell you, folks, what I see, what I saw tonight, offense killed us. Offense philosophy to go against this team killed us. It did. And I said it earlier in the broadcast. My God, where was a doozy? Where was Moore? And more important, where was our tight end? He's caught one pass in 8 quarters of football. And again, he's the catalyst for our passing game. You go to most any of the successful teams, who do they hit? Who's the guy that opens everything up? Is the tight end. But we do have some pretty damn good receivers. And what I'm saying today, what killed us offensively, what killed us is we didn't attack downfield. And I'll say it again. I don't recall a fly pattern, which is a deep, just as fast as a guy could run, go run down the side, launch the ball in the air. I didn't see any kind of ends crossing. We didn't attack downfield. We didn't use our tight end. Now, whose fault is that? Is that the quarterback's fault? It's not his, because the play is called in every play. Who is it? The offensive line, the receivers, is it their fault? It's not. It's on this coaching staff. This coaching staff, that's where our problem is. Are these 26 coaches, 16 on the field, 10 up in the box, and they can't find their way. They don't even know where the hell the field is.
All right, if you're on hold, please stay there. We'll get to you in just a few moments. Time for Who Brought It Today. It's sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. And Cairo Santos is the winner of that Who Brought It Today, 3 for 3 on field goals. And he hit a couple of 53-yard chip shots these days as part of his performance and all 9 of the Chicago Bear points today in their 29-9 loss. All right, take a quick timeout. Come back with more of your phone calls. We're with you until midnight here tonight. Bears lose 29-9.
Now, back to the Camp and OB Show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
And welcome back. Camp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, its official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. 29-9 was the final here tonight as the Cardinals beat the Bears and pretty much pretty handily. Never was very close.
We don't score in the first quarter, third quarter, or fourth quarter. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's really bad, actually.
But, you know, folks, something that I brought up during the break there, you know, here's the thing. Shane Waldron sets up the game plan, and he has supposedly a chart with 15 plays to start the game. But all those plays, when Caleb goes to the line of scrimmage, his headset's on until 15 seconds on the clock. Then it's off. But up until then, he's given him a play to call, or even two plays and an option between the two. And then Caleb, looking at the defense, decides which would be the best fit, and he will either kill it or run it. Now, so if he kills it, then the secondary play is normally a normal progression. Okay, if we're not going to do this, then this, you know, plan B is this. So that's what they work on each week on their game plan. And so it's not like they're in a huddle and Waldron is calling every single play start to finish, because the quarterback is now, you know, wanting to do the hurry up and go without a huddle. And so now everything gets a little more muddled. But the progressions of the plays that he is sending in Cole Kmet is obviously the third, fourth, or fifth, you know, part of the progression. And he never has enough time to get down that low. It's either the first or second. Now he's running for his life, OB.
Dan, if that is true, that Williams is changing the play, if he gets two options, and let's say he doesn't take either one and he goes to another play, or whatever, like he can cancel it, okay? That's not working, Dan.
No, it's
that
not.
Option is not working.
No, it's not.
So guess what? What Shane Waldron sends in as the play, run the damn play! Don't let a rookie quarterback who's played, what, 7 games? Now all of a sudden he's the genius? He can figure out what play to call and where to go with it? That's what they played the offensive coordinator for, all that money. To figure it out, to figure the opponent's weaknesses. And if he calls a play in, run the damn play.
312-981-7200. That is the number. Let's go back out to the phones in Arland Park. And Ahmed, you are up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Hampton OB. Good talking to you. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to know, I heard OB saying that they don't utilize a tight end. I was saying the same thing. Cole Kmet had no targets and no yards, nothing. What's the reason behind that? Because they don't just, it's not just under this regime. Under the Nagy regime and in the past 5, 10, 15 years, they don't utilize the tight end. They don't use the ball to throw the ball down the field. They try to do fancy plays. They try to do all these trick plays and stuff. It doesn't work. So they're either not looking at the other NFL games or they have no clue what they're doing. And so what's the reason behind that? And why can't we get the proper coaching to get that done? It's pretty shameful that the Bears are a major franchise, and we're just not good at football, it seems like, in the NFL. We're like the laughing stock in the NFL. That's pretty shameful. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but that's just, you know, they got to learn to follow what the other NFL teams are doing and be in the 2000s and play hard, you know?
So. What you're saying is correct. You know, and I've been sitting there, and you know, what do you do to correct it, and how do you correct it, and I, for the life of me, do not understand why it is we do not take advantage of the field with our quality receivers, and I do believe we have quality receivers. I do believe this young quarterback has the accuracy, and to get him out of the pocket, get him to the weaker, strong side. There are so many things, folks, that you can do in a passing game today. It's unbelievable. And what do? Nothing, folks. Nothing. We don't throw to our receivers. There's no creative pass patterns. There's no attacking downfield. There's no deviation from a run game or a pass game. We don't go to the strong side. We don't bootleg or run out to the weak side. We don't get our quarterback involved in moving out of the pocket, hitting it over the middle of the field, hitting it down the sideline. We just don't see it. And if somebody sees it, please call us in and tell us what it is that you see. I don't see it.
You know, it's funny watching the Vikings tonight. Hawkinson is he's a borderline all-pro player every year. He got hurt real bad last year. Tonight was his first night back.
He's a tight end.
Right, and he was targeted 3 times, and he was a big part of getting them going early in the game. By the way, how important is the tight end in the modern offense? Who was in the Super Bowl last year, Andy?
That would be the George Kittle-led San Francisco 49ers against Jason Kelce and the Chiefs.
The two all-pro tight ends in football were in the Super Bowl.
That's what I've been saying. Use the tight. He's the catalyst in today's game that opens up your passing game. How many damn times have I said it?
But what we're saying is we've got politicians working in the locker room. They want to be the star, meaning Keenan Allen, and even DJ Moore, and even to some extent, we need to feature Adunze. We want him to make the all-rookie team to make Ryan Poles look good. And, Cole, hey, we'll get to you next week. We'll get to you down the road.
Dan, that's the coach's job.
That's it!
If you can see it, and I can see it, and Andy can see it, They're right there. They're the coaches. Put an end to that BS. Make these people accountable.
Smart coaching.
If some guy's blowing his mouth off, shut him up or he's gone.
I got about a minute before we get to the news here. Let's get in one more phone call here, and we'll go to Palatine and say hi to John. John, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead, John.
All right. Hey, guys, thanks so much. You guys have a great program. Born and raised in Chicago. I've been a Bears fan all my life and listened to you guys since you started. I got two quick questions for you. First of all, is there anything we as fans can specifically do to get the attention of the front office? And second, what do you guys think of Ryan Poles?
Here's one thing that the fans could do, John. Okay, don't show up at the ballpark. I mean, that's never going to happen. But boy, you want to talk about making a statement? Everybody boycott the game. Nobody shows up at Soldier Field. They make some moves real quick.
That's a good point. That is definitely a good point.
Just don't show up.
Yeah,
that's never going to happen. But you know.
Okay, Ryan Poles, real quick. How much time do I have?
I got about a minute.
Okay. One of the earlier callers said the offensive line has been a catastrophe for 3 years. Coincidentally, that was the position he supposedly played. So evidently he discounts the importance of it for whatever reason. Okay. But all that being said, OB, you told me that if you watched last week's game between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, who would you rather have on your team?
Daniels in a heartbeat.
Okay, offensive coordinator. Kingsbury last week?
Kingsbury.
Or even the Arizona guy. I don't even know who the hell it is. Our guy. Ryan Poles makes these decisions, folks. It's more than just, you know, a first-round pick and, oh, everybody pat him on the back. It's a lot more to it, and we'll get to it after the break.
Yep. Yeah, and quickly right here. Why? This has been going on for several weeks here, not utilizing our power receivers, not utilizing them. That's from week to week, folks. The last 3-4 weeks, we're just not throwing downfield and we're not using our tight ends and making things happen. And why? Why hasn't Paul stepped in and grabbed somebody and somebody do something? It's right in front of everybody, the people that call in, the fans. We all see it. My God, you mean to tell me 26 coaches can't see it? We got a general manager can't see it? We got an executive president at Warren, and he can't see it? What the hell are they doing?
All right, we'll continue the conversation coming up after the news.
Now, back to the Hamp and OB Show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
As we continue here on the Hamp and OB Show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur alongside the fellas here, 29-9, the final, the Cardinals over the Bears today. And, you know, you would have thought that coming off that loss, the way that it was, you know, it was handed to them last week against Washington, that there would have been some kind of, you know, aggression, wanting to get back on the field and say, all right, that wasn't us. This is how we really play. And we didn't see anything.
No, we didn't.
And you know, could I just say this right here? And this is just a personal feeling that I had. Roughly about 4 minutes to go in the game. We're just under 5 minutes to go. I got a feeling, Dan and Andy and to our listeners, I got a feeling that the team, our offense, that we're out there, our defense were out there, I got a sense they just gave up. That's the feeling that I sensed.
Yeah.
That I saw them just give up. Just give up.
And that's why I kind of brought it up.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
Well, that's what I brought up in the pregame, too.
It's a personal feeling that I had.
Whether or not Eberflus lost the locker room. And I don't know. I kind of agree with you, Obi. I mean, I just kind of looked at a team that just wasn't really doing much.
It was like 11 guys offense, 11 guys defense. It was like monotone. It was like, that's it. We're done. I don't care anymore. That's the kind of feeling that I got from it.
Well,
whether I'm right or wrong, whatever.
You know, and we got to remember, these are 22, 25, mm-hmm. 28-year-old kids.
And you know what? We also got to think some are getting paid $20 million, $25 million to play 17 games. I'm not giving them any breaks, Dan.
I'm not giving them breaks either, but I'm just trying to tell you their mentality is such that they need – coaching. They need discipline, and they need to know there is a law to the land. And if you do something like Tyreek Stevenson did, then there's going to be hell to pay. And guess what? There wasn't hell to pay. And if the media didn't, you know, raise holy terror about what happened and that it became a national joke on every sports radio talk show about how one of our players was, you know, giving it to the fans and all this while the play was going on behind him. And then he eventually not only got involved, but was the catalyst that created the play that lost the game. There should have been instantaneous kind of retribution. Danny, and the team that's out there busting their guts, they want to hear a coach say, that's unacceptable, and I can't hold you, the rest of these guys hostage by your nonsense, your idiocy, and you're going to have to pay the price. What was it? 4 days later before anything actually was said to him about, you know, paying a penance?
Well, guess what, Danny? In his practice this past week coming up to this game, he was out on the practice field. He was demoted. He walked off the practice field, went in the locker room, stayed in there for a while, and turned around and came back out. And nothing was done, and he finished the practice session. The game comes up. He plays in the game. Nothing was done. Nothing was said to this kid. And if there was, there should have been more. Oh, Dan, I'm going to tell you something. I for the life of me, folks, this is after what he did Sunday. He walked off the practice field up at Hallis Hall and in the locker room. And then whatever he did, then he walked back out and they welcomed him back out to the practice. And then he plays in a game today. My God, what are these people thinking about?
Let's get to our Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. There was that drive toward the end of the second quarter that pretty much turned the game around.
There was 40 seconds left in the second quarter. The Bears kick a field goal. You know, I know, everybody in this room knows that 40 seconds left, Eberflus would have just took a knee. Did the Arizona Cardinals decide to take a knee? No. They went on a 78-yard touchdown drive that took all of 22 seconds, culminating with a 52-yard touchdown run against our supposedly great defense. You talk about a game-changing moment, you could hear the air coming out of everybody.
I think, Danny, what you're seeing here is, like I say, I think this team – today, the coaches are losing them. And this really jumped out at me. Eberflus and his staff, they're losing this team. That's the kind of feeling that I got. And maybe what you just said, Dan, maybe that's part of what I just said.
And, you know, the thing, too, that comes across with Matt Eberflus, and I've never met the man, but from people that have talked to him, they say he's a super nice guy, and nothing to say about him.
He's a wonderful guy.
He is a nice guy.
My brother's a wonderful guy,
yeah,
too.
I'm just saying. But these guys don't need a friend. They need a guy that knows his football and knows how to coach. He tries to be everybody's friend, it seems like.
Yeah, well, he wants to be, 53 guys, he wants to be their best friend.
He's got nicknames for them all. I mean, and, you know, you hear him during the mic'd up sessions, and he's calling this guy Spider-Man. He's calling this guy. I mean, how about calling this guy out and calling him and holding him accountable?
Why didn't that happen with Stevenson? Are you kidding me? What he pulled in that game is beyond unbelievable. And then what he pulled in practice. And you walked off the practice field. You left all your teammates, the coaches, and everybody, and you walk off because you got demoted, because your feelings were hurt, and then you come back out, and that coaching staff lets him finish the practice, and he plays in a game today with no retribution, no anything? Come on!
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I mean, obviously, I don't know what it was like to play for Ditka, but I mean, if something, and see, it's not to compare the eras, that's what I mean.
Never would have happened.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Okay,
I mean.
And everybody, you know, oh, there was a long time ago. Okay, what about Kansas City? Could you imagine that happening? And you think Patrick Mahomes wouldn't go to Andy and go, are you kidding me? You're going to allow this to happen? You're going to let somebody embarrass us on a national televised ball game where we lose, where 52 other guys are out there busting their guts to make a victory possible, and this bum does this, and you're going to just act like it didn't happen? You think that would have happened in Kansas City?
You know, for what he did, Danny, in practice this week, Stevenson, I'm talking about, to walk, because he got demoted, to walk off the field, and then he thinks he can come back out, and he's accepted. That shows you the respect that he has for that coaching staff and the respect that he has for the rest of, he doesn't have respect.
Okay.
And that kid has no business being on his team.
And what I said a little bit earlier, this isn't like we're in the NFC South where we get to play Carolina twice and New Orleans and a bunch of other bums. The only people we've beat, you know, thus far. There's, hey,
Dan, we haven't beaten a team with a winning record.
No, not even close. But here's my point. Ryan Poles with this, we're going to take back the North, and he thinks this is the way you're going to take back the North. When you see across the lake over there, Dan Campbell goes into Green Bay today and beats their teeth out. And you know what he said after the game? We don't care in the mud, the dirt, the rain, parking lot. We don't care.
Yeah.
We are built to win. Matt Eberflus has never won a road game on Sunday. Never won a Sunday road game.
You know what?
And he still has a job.
You mentioned, you know, talking about Poles, our general manager. This situation with Stevenson, folks, I'm telling you, this is serious. Because you're talking, like Dan said, the other 52 players, you got 26 coaches and the Bears organization. Everybody, and this kid shoves it in everybody's face. He did it Sunday, and he did it this past week, coming up to today. You got to be kidding me, folks. You've got to be kidding me. And let this kid make those moves and say what he wants to say and do what he wants to do. And there's no accountability whatsoever. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not doing this. What I'm telling you is what the hell this kid has done. This is unbelievable. And nothing happens. Nothing happens. You think Dan Campbell up in Detroit, you think he had let a kid get away with that, Dan?
He would have never tried it.
He's the head coach of Detroit Lions, folks. You think that would never happen in I don't know how many years. Not up in Detroit with Dan Campbell. But nobody. Where's Poles on this situation?
Well, that's what I want to get to.
Where the hell are these people? You let a kid running around, do what he thinks or whatever he wants to do, that affects the other 52 kids, not alone the coaches. And he gets away with it. He gets away with it. And we get mauled today out on a field.
You know how you get out of this, Andy? Trade deadline is Tuesday.
Yep.
You're on the phone till tomorrow morning, finding an offensive lineman and trade him and say, let this be a warning. And that would change a lot. And we need an offensive tackle.
Just before we get to a break, I know this is going to be a tough question to answer, but what play do the Bears need to scrap? Sponsored by Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. There were a lot of plays that the Bears need to scrap. Really couldn't get a lot of plays off because the offensive line had 6 sacks for Caleb Williams today.
How about
the bubble screen, the horizontal screen, whatever kind of horizontal screen you want, whatever name you want to put it.
Will you
take it out of your playbook? We're not good enough to run it.
Why are we targeting Keenan Allen 10 times?
Yeah, there you go.
Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
And welcome back. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Real quick, time now for our epic performance of the game, sponsored by Epical, revolutionizing beverage hydration with a pickle twist and rapid hydration. Roma Dunze today with five catches for 104 yards. He was one of the brighter spots, I think, at this point on offense. I've caught a long of 44 yards and averaged 20.8 yards in those five catches for 104 yards.
Yeah, I would agree, yeah.
All right. Well, the Bears lost 29-9. And, gentlemen, it kind of brings us to the question. You know, we heard from some of our listeners today and fans in a roundabout way asking you guys who've played the game at a high level, what do the Bears need to do now to get back on track? They got a lot of season still left.
Well, let me jump in on that. I think what do the Bears have to do? There has to be a philosophy change offensively. A philosophy change offensively. Everything that we've been doing, not using the critical people, the game winners, not using them from week to week, we got to get that's got to go. It's got to go. We've got to get more involved with our passing game, utilizing again just the people that we have. I don't think we have to make any trades anywhere. Just utilize the talent that we have. Utilize the talent of our young quarterback. Okay? And it has to be a philosophy change, and you have to stick with it. We have to be an attacking offense. We are not an attacking offense. When you don't use your tight end, when you really don't use more your top receiver, so to speak, and you don't attack downfield, you're not attacking. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to get your backside handed to you more often than not. So I would say, Danny, number one to me is a total and complete philosophy change. Hold the people accountable. I don't care if it's the head coach, it's assistant coaches, or if it's the players. Somebody's got to hold those people accountable. And that all falls under, to me, the blanket of a philosophy change from top to bottom. We're going nowhere the way what we're doing, Danny. We're going nowhere. It's going to get worse the back half of the season if there's not a total philosophy change of how to attack offensively and how to keep the cohesiveness of this team together.
A lot of what you said makes so much sense, but there needs to be oversight with Shane Waldron. He has proven that he cannot be trusted to run a competent NFL offense. 2 weeks in a row, he's running a sweep into the boundary from the short side of the field. The reason for a sweep, Andy, is your back is faster than 80% of the defense, and you want a long stretch so he can run and outrun. Well, you can't do it until the short side of the field. Only an idiot would do that.
Great point, Danny.
I'm just saying. Just
philosophy change.
Hey, Cole Kmet, you will now be targeted four times a half. I don't care if it's rain, snow, shine, where up or down 30. You're going to get four targets a half. Change some things around on the offensive line. Think about this. What is the best part of our football team? Forget Stevenson. The secondary, John Hoke, very good coach. We had a kid tonight that punched the ball out, Stewart. Never heard his name before.
He just was
he came
activated.
Off the practice squad, and it was so well coached, he makes a big play and forces a fumble. Big play at a big time in the game. We do have some competency at some of the coaches. You need to push them to the forefront and stop listening to the moaning and whining by people like Keenan Allen that he needs targets. We don't need to see it. You need to feature your playmakers and devise an offense that has that in mind. That would be a big first step.
Love what you just said, Danny, and I think all that falls under the idea of a total and complete philosophy change here. What we're doing, what we have been doing, is not working. It is not. It's getting worse. We can't even beat lousy teams, and mediocre teams. This was basically a mediocre team. And guess what? We lost 29-9, and we were never in the game. There has to be, and I'm saying it again, folks. Believe what I'm trying to tell you. There's got to be a philosophy change, and it's got to come from Bowles, and it's got to come from Warren. It's got to come from them, and employ it. Tomorrow, a total and complete philosophy change. Make the people accountable.
All right, 29-9 the final. We got to get out of here. Thanks to Jack, Sam, and Eli, Krista, and Brett. Sunday at 11 a.m., the Bears will take on the New England Patriots.